Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I wish I was a male model, but
well,
no.
What I've seen all these workout pictures. I keep thinking I'm friends with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, well, for a middle-aged guy, I try my best to keep it all from falling apart.
Oh, give up now.
Thanks.
Don't waste your time. It's really not worth it, okay? Just take it from me.
Okay.
You keep it all together, and then you turn 60, and it just doesn't matter anyway, because it all falls apart.
Oh, my gosh.
So on that positive note, how are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great.
Yeah,
You know, every day you can get out of bed is a good day.
You get out of bed?
Oh, I'm sorry, we broadcast you from your bed.
Yeah, this is live from my room. There's a whole group of people here. No, you've got a new book. So Pets in the Afterlife 3.
Messages,
yes. From Spirit Dogs. So now this is your third book dealing with this subject. Why did you do a third book? Like, what kept you going onto this?
Well, so first of all, I'm a medium, which means I'm able to communicate with people on the other side, but I'm also able to communicate with pets on the other side. And I get a lot more messages from pets than I do from people. And I have found that since I wrote Pets in the Afterlife 1 and 2, I would say probably 98% of the emails I get are from people who lost their pets and want to communicate with them and find out what's happening with them. So this book is slightly different than the others because it exclusively focuses on dogs. The other ones focus on dogs, cats, horses, and birds. But this one also has a chapter written by a very good friend of mine who's a medical psychologist who wrote a chapter on how to deal with grief and loss. Plus, it has, when I was finishing this book, Al and Julie, two of our four dogs passed away, Dolly and Franklin, in 2020. And so the emotion was extremely raw. The hurt and the pain and the loss, that was all there. And I put that in this book. To let people know that I feel their pain, I feel the emptiness. So, but it also is filled with stories of hope and communications so that people can understand that their pets are still with them.
One of the things, Rob, is that many people feel that mediums, that they query, I suppose, that how mediums respond to grief, don't they? Because there's this perception that obviously because you're used to communicating with those that have passed, it somehow makes it easier, and it really doesn't. So how did you manage to write this book and go through the grief of the dogs as well?
Well, I was actually just finishing the book when our dog Franklin passed in May of 2020. And, I have to be honest with you, I didn't pick it up for a couple weeks, but I did get signs immediately from Franklin, Julie. And Franklin has his own chapter in the book. He was pretty astounding right after he passed. And so I wrote those all down, and then I went back and I put them in the book. And the same thing happened with our dog Dolly, who's a Weimaraner. She passed in October, and so many different crazy things happened with her. So I can give you an example or two, like from Franklin.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So this is a good example to teach you how pets communicate from the other side. First of all, our dogs maintain their memories, personality, and knowledge on the other side, just as they do when they're here. And they behave much the same that they do in spirit as they did when they were here. So one of the things in our house that we like to do at 8 o'clock at night is I call three treat time. So whenever I announce that, all the dogs usually run into the kitchen and they line up. Franklin, being a dachshund, never missed a treat in his life. So that night that we said goodbye to him, I announced that to the other three dogs. Well, I was standing in the corner of the kitchen when I announced that, and suddenly I got a very cold chill. And I was so cold, in fact, that I had goosebumps. And there was no excuse for it, because it was May, and it was about 80 degrees. And I was in a warm kitchen. So I felt an immediate cold spot. Now, cold spots have been known to indicate the presence of a ghost or spirit. And the reason I figured out scientifically they do is because they take the energy of motion of air molecules. They slow those molecules down, and it goes from warm air, from fast-moving molecules, to cold air. So I knew Franklin was materializing right there. And so the next thing that happened, which was interesting too, is that our other three dogs lined up and they left the spot where Franklin normally stays.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's really lovely, isn't it?
So he was sitting there. They could see him.
And of course, that's another theory, isn't it, that the animals are much more sensitive than we are. In terms of the books, what have you learned through? So you've written three books specifically around talking to pets.
Yes.
And so what have you learned through the writing of those books? Because we're always evolving, aren't we, as mediums. So what are you learning along the journey?
I am learning that it is the method of communications are unlimited from pets, because pets also get assistance from spirit on the other side.
Hmm.
And one such case in the book is a story about how a dog used social media to convey to his to his human that he was okay on the other side, which was crazy.
So you've got to tell more now. You can't leave anybody with that half the story. So how? Tell us about this. This is fascinating. Go on.
Okay. We've all used social media. We know that whenever we bring up a video, that usually if you look at a video online, the first the image that's frozen is usually within the first 3 to 5 seconds of a video. It's not usually in the middle.
Yeah.
So what happened here is that this particular dog made sure that he was seen, and he was not in the first 3 to 5 seconds of this video. My friend Dan, who lives in Indiana, I befriended him after giving him a reading a year and a half ago for his other dog. He has been working in an animal shelter for years. And just before COVID hit in March of 2020, he was doting on this one shelter dog named Kuzco. Mm. And he would go in and pay special attention to him and so forth. The shelter gave him the option of fostering the dog. But Dan works 12-hour days, and he said it would not be fair to the dog.
Yeah.
So he let another family foster the dog, someone that had kids and so forth. Kuzco came into the shelter with a severe case of heartworm. As it turned out, after he was brought into foster care, he passed away because the heartworm damage was so great to this poor little dog. Well, Dan was destroyed. Dan said he just could not get this dog out of his mind. He felt regret. He felt guilt and so forth. Mm-hmm. So he asked me for a reading, and I gave him a reading. And then he wrote me back a week later, and he said, "Can you tell me if this is a sign?" And he explained what happened. He said he was scrolling through Facebook, and he came to this new video that was just posted by the shelter. And he snapped a picture, a screenshot of it, and there was Kuzco staring at him from the computer.
Oh, wow.
So he said, "Play this video and tell me when you see Kuzco." Well, Kuzco didn't show up until 1 minute and 47 seconds into the video. And he said, "Why in the world would he be on the front, the first, why would he his picture be on there?" And his picture, by the way, only lasted about 1 or 2 seconds in the video. And I said, "Dan, it probably only came up that way for you because he wanted to let you know that he's okay and he's still very much around you."
And, sorry, go on, Rob.
No, that's it. I mean, I think you get some human help there, but.
I think that's amazing. I think it's such a reassurance to people. So your books have evolved from talking about many different types of pets and communication, because, of course, it's not just dogs that communicate in the afterlife, but also now focused on dogs. What was the rationale for the focus? Because so many people were coming to you to ask those questions, and you felt it to be a need?
I did. And to be quite honest with you, Julie, I have so many stories from dogs and cats, that I'm actually going to do a Pets in the Afterlife 4 about spirit cats. So I'm not being partial here.
Well, is there something different about, because you're doing this one on dogs, mm-hmm. is there a difference in how they communicate? Like, does a dog communicate differently than, let's say, a cat or a horse?
For the most part, no, they communicate pretty similarly, but it's really based on how they were in life. So cats tend to be, they do more physical things than dogs seem to do. So you may feel a cat laying against your head in your sleep or when you're laying down and your cat had passed. You may feel a cat walk across the end of the bed. You know, things that dogs don't normally do. You know, dogs don't normally sleep on your head or or walk across the bed in kind of a stealthy manner. And usually, they do a lot of the same things. So you may see them as a shadow, like a dog or a cat, in the place, their favorite places where they sit. And the reason you see them as a shadow and not visibly in color is because it takes too much energy for them to do that. So there is a difference, and it's all based on the way that they behave in life.
Hmm. So, in general, what is the pet trying to do when they come across?
They are trying to let us know, number one, that the loss is only in the physical, and that they are forever connected to us in the heart. And that we should not grieve as deeply as we do. We can grieve their physical loss, but we have to understand that they're forever bound to us. And they will also help us train our pet from the other side, our new pet, if we choose to adopt in their memory. And they'll also be a guardian to us. In some cases, these dogs or cats have become spirit guides. I know my dog Buzz has become one of my spirit guides, and he guides me to do better things for myself.
So now I notice in this, you say you have, through personal stories and pet parents. How do you choose your stories? How do you choose which ones you're going to talk about in a book?
I look for the unique signs, really. I don't want to just keep repeating the same kinds of signs throughout the books. It's important to understand that there are such a variety of ways in which pets can communicate. I mean, there are some basic ways, but the one like the use of social media, I've never encountered that before. And there are quite a few other unique ways that are in there, too. And when I see that, usually, Al, when I'm doing a reading, sometimes people will ask me if I will consider putting their story or that reading in a book because they've read my other books. So they make it easy for me.
Now, with the last year, especially in the U.S. now, all the turmoil, let's put it that way, you had crazy president and just everything going on and the COVID and stuff. Does this affect the way you are able to read, and does this also make a difference in the pets that come across?
It doesn't affect the way I read. The pets really come, they're always coming across in a very caring, nurturing way. So despite what's happening here now, their focus is solely on the comfort of the pet parent. So they don't really pay attention to the outside environment, as you will. But they do take special note when their pet parent's grief is so deep, and if the pet parent is suffering any guilt. I often hear from dogs and cats that they don't want their parent to feel guilty for helping them cross over. Instead, they want them to understand that they appreciate that their pet parent had the strength and the courage to do that for them as an act of unselfish love.
So I've got to ask the question, Rob, because I know people will then be thinking about it. Have you ever had an animal pet come over to say that the decision was wrong?
Not wrong per se, but maybe waited too long.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
playing devil's advocate, why would that be? I get it, I do, but just thinking about the listeners, really. So why, if a pet was that passionate, they wanted to make sure that their pet, their human, was not feeling guilty, and they've got the same personality and kind of values as they have when they're alive and well. How do there not then be some pets that just think, do you know what? I just wish I hadn't even been with you. It was awful. You kept taking me on 10-mile walks. How do you know that doesn't happen?
Well, they do tell me when when they're tired and achy and so forth. But they didn't really complain because of the love that they received. So it's kind of. It's kind of like being in love with a partner. Even if you're not up to going on a hike, you do it anyway, because you love them. Even though you have to take serious painkillers afterwards.
That's where I go wrong. Hang on. Because you would think that being less able to communicate with their human in such an explicit way as they can with you once they've passed over, whilst they're alive, you would think that if they had things to say, if they weren't happy, they would be wanting to share that as well. And so I guess some people would think, well, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they share when they think that that decision may be to help them pass over hasn't been the right one, or was you know, was maybe too soon?
Yeah, I haven't received any messages that have said that they've crossed over too soon. Some of them said that they crossed over early, but early before their condition gets unbearable.
Yeah.
So they understood why they did it when they did it, to save them from extreme pain. And not all of them are ready. It's really, it's really a trick to paying attention about whether or not your pet is ready to go. Some tips for everybody who's listening: if your pet starts isolating themselves, if they start going in another room, if they stop eating, of course, if they stop interacting with any of the other pets, those are signs right there that the pet wants to be left alone. The pet is not feeling well. And I will tell you, Julie, that when Franklin was a 16-year-old dachshund, and he had a disc that kept slipping in his spine, causing him terrible pain. He was on two painkillers. He could only sleep 3 hours at a time, and we knew that you know, we waited a little long, but my partner said, no, we have to wait. We have to, you know, maybe it'll get better. And I'm like, he's 16 and a half years old. So he was being optimistic, of course.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But Franklin, when Franklin started in the last 2 weeks of his life, I would bring Franklin in the den with us to watch television and the other dogs. And Franklin would get up. He would find the strength to get up, and he would walk out of the room and go in the kitchen and sit by himself. And that, to me, was a big sign right there that it was time.
Yeah. Oh, that's really sad. I have a 15-year-old Labrador Collie Cross with now, and since I last spoke to you, actually, she's now got diabetes and has gone mainly blind, but runs around the field like a puppy. And I know that actually that there's not that much time left with her, mm-hmm. and it's incredibly sad. You know, pets that live, well, it doesn't matter how long they live, but you know, when I've had 15 years and she's given me so much, you just hope that you're going to make the right decision at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something that we all feel guilty about, no matter what. I mean, even if it's beyond time, we still feel guilty about it because we feel like we could have had that one more day with them. But our pets don't want us to feel that guilt. Instead, they want us to feel appreciation for having that courage.
Yeah. So have you learned about the way you read and communicate with pets through the evolution of the books, or just about how they communicate?
It's really more how they communicate. And I think what's difficult about a pet reading, and I just did one 2 weeks ago for a gentleman named James, and I can share that with you. He was skeptical, and you know, I quite frankly, I'm skeptical too when I do these readings, because I'm thinking, how in the world could a dog tell me this?
Yeah.
But it's amazing what they know. And I do learn over time the things that different dogs focus on depending on where they grew up. And what's interesting here too is when I do readings, people just email me their name, the dog's name, and a picture of the dog and any questions they have, if they have any. So I know nothing about where they live. Or, you know, what the house looks like, what city they live in, what environment it is. I know absolutely nothing. So I only know what the pet tells me.
Yeah.
So here's an example of that. So 2 weeks ago, a woman named Ingrid wrote me. And she said to me that her cat Buddy had passed. And she spelled it B-U-D-D-H-I. And she said, I'm really missing my cat. I want to know if he's still around. What can you tell me? So I described, you know, what Buddy felt at the end of his life. They usually share the physical sensations of, you know, before they pass.
Yeah.
You know, typical feelings of love and so forth. And then Buddy kept telling me the word Mala, M-A-L-A. And I thought, what does that even mean? I have no idea. I don't even, is that a word? So I'm writing to this woman, Ingrid. I don't know where she's from. She could be from, you know, she could be from around the corner from where I live in Maryland. And I said, I don't know what this means, but Buddy has repeated it several times. And then I sent it. And I'm like, she's going to think I'm out of my mind. So I got an email back from her the same night. And she wrote, I can't believe the messages that you got from Buddy. She said, what especially blew me away was the word Mala. That's the name of the meditation that I do every morning, only wow. with the cat in my bedroom. It's called the Mala meditation, and I've never heard of it.
It is those validations, isn't it, that really matter? And likewise, you might have something that to you makes no sense whatsoever. It's quite random. And so you kind of wait until it's repeated a couple of times before voicing it out of a little bit of hesitation, thinking, I have no idea what this is. I'm just going to say this word or this phrase. And generally, that's when somebody absolutely becomes attuned and believing of the reading and that communication.
Yes. And I have to be careful not to put my own thoughts in there, because sometimes I'll be typing a word out that I've never heard of or I think is like ridiculous. And then I'll say, oh, maybe I should just backspace and erase that. But even though I heard it from the
absolutely.
Pet.
And that is one of the fundamental first learnings, isn't it? It doesn't matter. We make things into our own words. We make sense of something. We try to kind of almost humanize, if you like, what it is that we're knowing in our minds. And so you try and make sense of something, and quite often then you go down this tangent that is absolutely wrong. And if you'd have just said it as you had it, it would all make sense, but not to you.
Exactly. I always second guess myself. I say to myself, this can't be right. This is crazy. So I can share another story with you that's not in the book. It's actually about a reading that happened last week.
Definitely.
And this one also threw me off, because I just thought, where in the world did this come from? So this is the one about the gentleman named James that wrote me about his dog, Winnie. And I shared this story the other day, and it's fascinating what a dog can observe. So I wrote all of these things that Winnie told me about, you know, what she liked to do, one of her favorite toys, and a couple of other things. And he wrote a really nice note, and he said, you know, I was skeptical. Started going through your email. I was skeptical.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the beginning, I'm still skeptical. Then I thought, okay, favorite toy, that's interesting. And then he said, I got to this other part where you said, I see Winnie on the other side with a woman named Liz. And he said, and he said, then I read further, and he said, you said Liz was wearing something that looks like a Scottish pattern or a tartan kind of skirt or something. And he said, okay, that was unique and weird. So he said he shared it with his wife. Well, his wife said that, I think 4 days before Winnie passed, her friend from a university named Liz passed away. And she said, he said, my wife showed me a picture of her and Liz on her phone. And in the picture, Liz was wearing a tartan skirt.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
So he said, I'm a genuine believer now.
Yeah.
It's just weird for me to write those things down, and I keep second-guessing myself.
I was going to say, is there a type of meditation or a process that you use to communicate with animals?
Not really. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee, and and I actually sit in front of my computer in the quiet at night on the weekends. And that's when I do my readings.
So what are the signs that people should look for with an animal as compared to a human that is trying to communicate or get some message to their previous owner or parent?
Sure. So there are a lot of things. As I said, they maintain their same habits in spirit that they do in the physical. So you can listen for their nails on the floor. You can listen for a collar jingle. You can listen for a bark or a meow, which always sounds like it's coming from another room. You might see a fleeting shadow out of the corner of your eye. You may feel them on the bed. You may be led to another pet that looks very similar to them. You may hear their name mentioned by somebody else randomly, wherever you are. You may see a number that represents the date or time they passed or were adopted or their birthday. Those are just some examples.
Is the biggest thing or the most common thing that you get from owners or pet parents when they're trying to communicate with their animals? What do you think the most important thing is that they're trying to find?
That they're trying to find?
Yeah, what do you think? Like, when someone comes to you and they're grieving or they're upset, they've lost their pet, what is the thing that most people are looking for?
Okay, they're actually trying to find out if their pet is okay on the other side. And usually if their pet is with somebody that they know, Those are two of the things. And if they made the right decision about helping their pet cross. Sometimes, in the case of mysterious deaths, they need to know, for closure's sake, what took the lives of their pet. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to give those kinds of readings. In fact, Al and Julie, there's a chapter in Pets 3 called Ginny's Westies Solve Their Mysterious Deaths. It's a story about, it's a reading that I did for Ginny. She had four Westies and a German Shepherd. And her Westies suffered, several of her Westies suffered mysterious deaths, three of them. So she wanted to know what in the world took their lives. And I contacted each one of them, and she was astounded that that what I told her made sense. One, in fact, was I remember that I told her that one of her dogs went out into the backyard. And I said, your dog showed me that you had a big backyard and there was a lot of woods back there, and that he got bitten by a snake. I think the dog's name was, I can't remember what the dog's name was. But, and she wrote me back and she wrote, "Oh my gosh, I was always afraid of snakes when I owned that property and the dogs went out." Another one told me that they passed from eating a plant that was poisonous. And then there were others. So that's one of the things people need for closure. If they don't know exactly what took their pet's life, and that's a really pretty frequent question. It's also a warning too to pet parents to know what plants you have around, because there are so many common house plants that are poisonous.
How do you define like the afterlife for pets? So that's a question I see floating around. So do they go to heaven? Like what is the afterlife like for a pet?
So like people, they become beings of energy and light, coupled with memories, personality, and the knowledge of this life, and they are beings of energy. So. You know, I think some mediums will tell you that they're in fields with with sunshine and so forth, and I think we do that because we convey that kind of image to people because that's the kind of thing that will bring peace, and that's what people understand. But to me, as a scientist, I look at them as energy. So as energy, they can go anywhere, anytime, any place. Because if you think about all the energies that flow through the universe, the cosmos, there's X-rays and solar rays and gamma rays and so forth. They're just part of that. But there's also a positivity to the energy. There's also a love. There's an emotion to the energy that distinguishes it from the other physical energies that are out there. And that's what makes it so special. So it's really about energy for me.
So now, randomly, this is kind of a weird question maybe, but you know how, okay, so a medium will pick up things from other humans that have passed and places and stuff. Do you get random ones from pets the same way? Like, can you go into a building and you're picking up a pet spirit coming to you, or is that something that you have to direct yourself to, like you have to be with the owner? Or is that something that happens randomly as well?
It's happened randomly twice in all my years. In one particular investigation I did with the Inspired Ghost Tracking Team, it was a cat that actually, a ghost cat as it turned out, that brushed by my ankles. And when I asked the owner about that, she said that they never owned a cat. And she said the previous owner didn't own a cat either, but the neighbor did, and that cat used to come over the house often. So obviously that cat still comes over the house. And there was another time when I was in England, and I walked into a museum, the former house of Sir John Soane the famous British architect, his dog, Fanny, still plays in that house and has been seen by many docents there, including me, because I saw the first thing I saw when I opened that door to go in that museum was a little black dog running across the hallway. And I thought, what in the world is a dog doing here?
Well, that's so it can happen where you pick up an independent animal, so to speak. Like you,
yes.
Like when you saw that dog in the architect's house, you weren't getting the architecture, but you were just getting the dog.
Yes. Yeah, so it can happen, absolutely.
And so what do they do? Are they interested in communicating when they're that way? Or does that animal stay on its own, just do its own thing? It's just there for its own purpose. Or does that animal actually try to communicate with people?
In that particular case, they do want to communicate with people, but I think they seem to be content being what they are, where they are and doing what they're doing until they get bored, I guess, just like ghosts who are, you know, human ghosts who choose to stay for reason, and then after a while they realize that it's not such a good idea, and then they want to cross over.
Yeah, because you can go into an old building, right, and there can be a human spirit that's crossed over that's maybe had an agonizing life, and they're stuck. You know how there can be not really crossed over, as some mediums would say, and they're in a kind of a circle. They're just sort of staying there, and they've had a they have a lot of pain and agony and stuff. Do you ever get that with an animal? Do animals ever get in that place where they don't go to the light, so to speak, or don't cross over?
I'm sure that there are some that do that feel that way. And I would say, in my experience, I would say about 98% of them cross over. And the reason I say that is because often the spirits of our human loved ones are on the other side, calling them over and welcoming them. And even the pets that we had, earlier in life, they'll also be there. And I say that because when my dad passed away in 2008, I saw him walk into the light, and in the light was my family dog, my two family dogs, and my dog Buzz, that passed in 2005, as well as my dad's parents and my mother's parents. So they're all there encouraging that our pets to come across.
Well, that's sort of what I'm kind of trying to get to is, so that's all good, but why is it that some humans get stuck but the pets don't?
Well, the pets actually can get stuck earthbound. So that little dog in England, for instance, that dog has been there for 200 years or 150 years, and he's still there. So he's stuck until somebody can cross him over, if he wants to be crossed over.
But why do you think that is? Because the pets tend to be, in my experience, in my life on Earth, all the pets tend to be very, very loving, very happy, very, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, they still love you and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
Humans can be a different thing, right? and so there's a lot more politics to humans, right? There can be a lot of, you know, a different type of thing.
Sure.
They hold on to grudges, or they can, you know, whatever goes on. So I understand some of that stuff, but I just wonder, what about the animal that allows them to be so free at crossing? And why would that, for instance, that dog, why would he want to stay earthbound? Or why would the dog stay earthbound? Because they don't really have that same, it's not like the dog had this, you know, they're haunting something or doing something. Or is there such a thing as maybe animal haunts? You know, animals that will haunt a place and will be kind of a little more evil?
Well, I have to answer that in two parts. Number one, I do think that animals can choose to stay in a place of their choosing in the afterlife. And I got the sense from this little dog that he loved his home so very much that when he passed, he didn't want to go anywhere. So he just stayed so he could forever run around and play. So the second part of that is that I never really get an innate evil sense from an animal that has stayed, unless it's a wild animal. That's not evil. It's just confrontational. It's just protective. And I haven't really run into any wild animals as ghosts.
Well, you know, you just haven't been to the right bar.
Julie, you have to tell me where he goes so I can avoid them.
believe me, if I knew, I would be. Yeah. I don't go anywhere in the room myself.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, Rob, I'm in the UK and I stay there very purposefully.
I understand.
Well, no, I just like to look at different angles of things.
Sure.
So, you know, because again, when you talk about pets, so your own pet is loving and crosses over and stuff. So what about the wild animals? What's the difference between a wild animal and, you know, a feral dog and, let's say, a dog that's been loved and cared for?
So I can really only communicate with domesticated pets because they know our language and our habits and our emotions and so forth. Wild animals can't relate really to people. Because they don't know how we live, they don't know our language and so forth. So I have a hard time communicating with any wild animals. So it makes it really hard for me to answer that question about what they're thinking and so forth.
How do they mix in the afterlife, Rob? So how would all the different animals mix? Because you talked about them getting support from people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they mix with other animals?
I think they mix pretty well.
I wouldn't want to think of my dog going and then being confronted by a tiger.
So I look at it this way, that once they're energy, everything is physically equal. Nothing can be intimidating because it's all energy and personality.
One thing I wonder is, you know, because I rescue a lot of the old dogs, but I think of some of these pets that have been through, you know, terrible lives.
Sure.
Dreadful, you know, and what people do to them and how they get stuff. What happens to that animal that's been abused and had a terrible life, and some of them don't make it? What goes on with that type of a soul? And did you ever come across that in your time?
I have come across animals that were in abusive situations and that were rescued by others and given the love and care that they never got when they were younger. And it was a true sense of gratefulness and appreciation. I haven't been communicating with any of the animals that passed away from an abusive situation. I don't know if I could emotionally deal with that very well, to be honest with you. But I'm so busy helping the people that loved their pets that I haven't really been able to focus on the others.
Mm. Yeah. It's totally an interesting process, all of this. Has that process changed for you much over the years? Like since the very first Pets and the Afterlife book till now, over the years, has this whole process changed for you in the way that you communicate with animals?
I think that I tend to believe them more. I mean, yes, granted, I still doubt myself whenever I hear messages, but not as much as I used to. Because I've really learned a lot of the ways that they do communicate and the things that they're trying to convey. I do have an interesting story that I want to share with you if you have time.
Sure.
About how our dog Dolly actually helped me realize who was waiting for her on the other side, and that it was her time. Okay, so Dolly was almost 16 years old. That's old for a whiner on her. She was less than a month of that, before her birthday. And she actually, right up until a week before she started failing, she actually walked around the block. She did agility in the house and so forth. But she suffered the same thing that Franklin, our dachshund, suffered from. And that was a disc suddenly slipping in the back of her spine. In her case, it happened within 24 hours, and it rendered her legs, her back legs, useless. So, you know, for a big dog, that's extremely difficult. Plus, she had been incontinent with number one and number two for a year, so she was wearing a diaper. She was a real trooper. She had a strong spirit, and she was, over that year, she was never ready to go. It wasn't until the disc thing happened. So the night the night we went to bed, I knew we called a vet for the next day because we knew, you know, her legs weren't working anymore. She was miserable. We could tell. It was time. You always want that confirmation. Well, fortunately, Dolly and my relatives and spirit were able to give that confirmation. So I slept on the floor with her that night in the kitchen with her and our other dog that was bonded to her. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, she woke up and she lifted her head, which was unusual because, you know, her spine wasn't working very well. And she stared at a door. And I tried to get her to lay back down and she wouldn't lay down. And finally I just said, okay, what are you looking at? So I turned to look at the door, and Al and Julie, there were my parents, our friend Ed, that's been there for all of the passings of our dogs, and I saw Franklin and Buzz and Sprite.
It was Tuesday.
They were all there waiting for her. So I knew that it was the right time. I knew it was the right decision. So they let me know.
Wow.
It was a hard thing to see, but it was necessary.
So now, how do people find you? And do you have a website and a place set up? And do you have where you do readings for people or other animals? Do you have a place set up on your website?
I do. I finally had to do that this year. I'm glad you asked. If people go to petspirits.com, that's probably the easiest, or robgutrow.com. On the top right corner, they'll see a little box that says how I do readings, and you can click on that. On the left-hand side, you'll see a link to all of my 8 books, and you can click on that. It takes you right to Amazon. And I only do readings on the weekends. You know, on my free time, because I have a daytime job as a scientist, so
I was going to say, what, maybe your antenna works better on the weekends?
Yeah, I'm a little more focused.
Yeah. Ah. Well, that's great. How has everything been going for you for the COVID and stuff? How has it worked for you? What do you think about all that?
Well, every 100 years, I mean, well, not less than every 100 years, there's always going to be a pandemic because that's just the way of viruses and bacteria and all that stuff. So it is what it is. we just have to be mindful and pay attention to science, speaking as a scientist, and do the right thing. Not only to protect ourselves, protect our families, and protect everybody else in the world. It's really important. It has given people a lot of time to think, though. I've noticed that people have been adopting pets left and right, which is wonderful, because pets are teaching them unconditional love.
As long as they don't give them up after it goes away.
That's exactly, my fear as a dog rescuer.
Yeah, people tend to do that, you know. Yeah. Anti-maskers, how come they smoke?
You know, I don't even want to go there.
Well, it's just one thing I noticed, that because you see the people that are refusing to wear a mask, and then they, because they can't breathe properly, or it's, you know, but yet they stand there and they're yelling and they've got a cigarette in their hand. Sorry, I just had to bring that up. Well, Rob, it's always an interesting
All topic. I will say to that is medical people have been wearing surgical masks forever.
Yeah, no, it's just silliness. But well, I appreciate you coming on. It's always interesting to hear about what you're doing and stuff. And you're going to continue to write books. You still got a future going doing that. Is that kind of your plans?
I do actually. I have 7 books all slated for the next 7 years. 1 a year is my goal, because there's so many aspects of the paranormal. I mean, pets are one aspect of the paranormal that I talk about, but I also talk about people. Spirits that have crossed over and ghosts that have stayed, and there's so many different angles to talk about that. I'm just trying to share my experiences and educate people and help them understand what's going on.
Is that sort of the purpose when you write a book?
It is. Yeah, it really is. It's really about education, and in terms of knowing how our loved ones communicate from the other side, it's helping to bring them comfort and peace. That's why I write.
Well, fantastic. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. We'll have your website and book up on ours as well, so people can do one click and pick it up and come find you. And if they want to book you, they can just do it right online. And, our guest has been Rob Gutro. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.